I want to turn now to David Garrity, the chief executive of GVA Research, to tell us about the world domination plans of Amazon. David, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for being here. I was just looking at the market cap of Amazon at nearly $480 billion, right? So $480 billion is the market cap for a company that did sales of about $140 billion. So we're talking about a 4-to-1 there. Net income, $2.5 billion. How does that work on an annual basis? You got a $480 billion valuation, and yet your net is $2.5 billion, and people just love you.
Well, Pim, thanks for the setup on world domination, but the issue it is, it goes into the competitive dynamics that Amazon, under founder and CEO Jeff Bezos, have followed since pretty much the beginning, which is the company is always focused on pricing as being the wedge that it has used to gain market share. And the company has always referred to the fact that they arguably have this flywheel, which at some point in time, when things slow down and margins start to improve, should lead to meaningful expansion on the bottom line. So the profit margin that you highlight is razor thin, arguably has the potential to expand. And certainly, you know, here we are a week on.
Expand, even though some people have said that Amazon, you know, first built this business on the fact that they did not pay sales tax in the states to which they ship books.
Very true. And in some respects, you know, this continues to the present day. So, yes, there's tax avoidance, and arguably the pricing on that can be worked into what price it is that the consumers have to pay. But one might argue that as we've seen this business model develop and evolve, and following the acquisition announcement a week ago of the $13.4 billion being spent to acquire Whole Foods, I would really say Amazon's growth prospects boil down to two words right now. Alexa listens. And if we look at the Amazon Echo being implanted in the homes of a wider range of higher income households, while people may think, gosh, the Echo is wonderful. You know, I give a request, I get an answer. Well, it's not just a matter of depending upon interaction. It's the matter of listening and gathering further data.
Wait, and so how can Amazon monetize that?
Amazon arguably is going to monetize that. If we looked at Whole Foods, where is Whole Foods located? Whole Foods is located in situations where it caters to high-income households. So it has to be in fairly close proximity to where these households are located. So not only has Amazon now just gotten a wider number of distribution points that are closer to their customers, they arguably at the same time have gathered a source of data which gives them greater depth in terms of understanding the range of products that consumers are buying. Complement that with the fact that, you know, if we go back over the last 6 to 12 months, Amazon had been rolling out the Echo. And we've had, you know, people have responded to this product favorably, but there are implications longer term where this integration on the part of Amazon is getting far closer to consumers such that it's now within the consumer's home passively gathering data.
So I'm trying to understand, going back to something that you said earlier, Amazon has proven really good at disintermediating some of the big behemoth retailers and having more efficient systems also by squeezing out prices, by getting prices as low as possible. At what point will they be able to meaningfully increase prices to improve their margins?
Well, you're starting to see some of that happen already. You know, Amazon over time has started to introduce more of their own brand products and have been providing those to consumers. And consumers have appreciated Amazon very much because Amazon was convenient. You could shop on Amazon anytime you want, wherever you want it, and Amazon would deliver. But in the process of the trade-off of this convenience, consumers aren't necessarily being perhaps as mindful. And it may not matter so much at the higher end income end of the distribution curve. Consumers are making a trade-off. They're not necessarily looking at the price that they're paying. They're not looking at the value because they're putting greater value on the convenience that Amazon can deliver. And there is documentation out there that says Amazon, with respect to their own brand products, changes the prices on a fairly rapid basis. And more often than not, you actually end up paying more for the Amazon-owned brand product than you do for a branded name product being provided by another vendor through the Amazon site.
That's kind of an amazing situation, isn't it?
This is yield management, which people have been accustomed to thinking of in the context of the airline industry, where you look at the manipulation around per-seat pricing. This is yield management going online and then with Alexa coming into your home.
talking about Alexa, maybe you can expand on this, because if you go to the Alexa site, it is targeted towards businesses, not to individuals necessarily, and it's designed to give businesses what they call competitive analysis tools. And I'm wondering if you could speak about that in the context of what Alexa is doing, because, boy, if you're offering website traffic statistics plus an audience overlap, that's kind of a sophisticated piece of information for companies that don't have to host the technology.
Well, it's really a byproduct of what it is that Amazon is doing. And Amazon, in the process of doing that, is obviously trying to monetize what it's already gathering for itself. Some people have been making a case, you know, in fairly significant publications, that Amazon is now acquiring the role that railroads used to play back in the late 19th century, when railroads essentially determined what traffic crossed the rails and what was the price at which this traffic crossed its rails. So one might argue that as historically we looked at Amazon as being a disruptor, you know, Amazon now as the intermediary is gaining substantial economic power. And the question here might have to be argued, as we look at the Whole Foods acquisition, you know, will the regulators decide to intervene because of this greater influence that Amazon has? And the other question is, will regulators start to be concerned about some of the privacy issues that may be raised around the prospect of having Alexa sitting in the home, listening to what people are saying, and then anticipating what people want before they actually themselves consciously know that? Are consumers willing to give that much away of themselves to get this convenience that Amazon has historically provided?
This is fascinating. You know, I hadn't realized that Amazon branded products were actually charging more than what you could get for other brands that are sold through Amazon's network. Fascinating talk. David Garrity, Chief Executive Officer of GVA Research. Also, he's a columnist at Investopedia, and he joins us here in our Bloomberg 1130 studios, looking very summery. Always wonderful to see you, David. Thank you so much. Coming up, politics, policy, and power with Amy Morris and Ben Holland. Amy, what are you looking at today?
We're going to keep following the fallout from the Senate health care bill. There are a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. We're going to find them for you. Former Senator George Mitchell has been the Middle East peace envoy for years, or he was. And we're going to talk about efforts toward Middle East peace with the Trump administration. And also, listen to this. President Trump is going to hold a campaign rally next week already, getting ready for his
rally?
To raise money for his campaign for the next 4 years. And he's going to do it at his D.C. hotel.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for giving us that rundown. A lot going on in the world of Washington, D.C., politics, policy, and power. A great show to distill it all today with Amy Morris and Ben Holland. Coming up next, this is Bloomberg.